Amen. Good morning. So glad to be worshiping with all of you. I'm Pastor Barry, lead pastor of Symphony Church, for those of you who don't know me. And it's really great to be worshiping with you here at the office and for those of you virtually. For the past 6 months, we've had the privilege through technology and through Pastor John flying down to North Carolina once a month of worshiping with our brothers and sisters from Journey Community Church in North Carolina. And Pastor John has been doing a great job ministering to that congregation. I'm thankful. I'm sure JCC is thankful for his efforts. But the good news is that Pastor David Kwan is returning from sabbatical. And as such, today is our last Sunday that we're worshiping together during this co-journey. And I'm sure that there will be other opportunities for us to do this again in the future. But I just want to extend my love, the love of Symphony, and blessings to all of JCC, and we're thankful to have been able to walk with you the past 6 months. Just some more family news. Pastor David and Grace Son in Taiwan now have a third son. Benjamin Benny Son was born this past Tuesday, December 21st. And mother and child are very healthy and doing well. If you know them, please message them and congratulate them. Okay, with that, why don't we take a minute to greet our neighbors? Let's stand. All right, let's come back together. So originally, Pastor Mike, our college pastor, was supposed to preach today. And he prepared and wrote this sermon that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Sadly, Thursday, he tested positive for COVID, along with Dan Jang on our staff. And COVID cases are on the rise in Boston, and so I do appreciate all of your willingness to follow our COVID protocols. I do encourage you to get your boosters if you have not already. As far as I know, Pastor Mike and Dan are just mildly symptomatic, but please do keep them and others in our congregation who just this week tested positive in your prayers. Pastor Mike did a lot of work this past week preparing for this message, and so as I am preaching, if you are blessed, you can be thankful to God for Pastor Mike, and if this message doesn't bless you, you can blame me for the delivery and some of the modifications that I made. There's a lot of feedback. Okay, so today is December 26th. Now, if I were to survey you all with this question, when does the Christmas season end? I think many of you would answer Christmas Day, right? Here in the United States, we start hearing Christmas songs right after Thanksgiving or even before, right? And it goes all the way up to Christmas Day. And then the Christmas stations go back to playing pop music on December 26th. But actually, in the church calendar, and if we're talking about Christmas, then of course, as Christians, we should be guided by the church calendar. The Christmas season begins on Christmas Day, sometimes on the evening of Christmas Eve. So for those of you who love Christmas, good news with a lowercase g, we can still keep our decorations up, and we can still celebrate Christmas. I've been thinking about why American traditions have devolved away from the church calendar, and the only answer that I can come up with is that this change has to do with commercial retailers, right? Retailers want their Christmas earnings, which for some actually comprise up to half of their annual profits, before the year ends. So they ramp up a Christmas frenzy and their sales in November and end on Christmas Day, December 25th, with the promise, get your purchase delivered by Christmas, as though it would be a terrible thing to get it delivered afterwards, right? Now, we Christians often decry the commercialization of Christmas, but I have to admit, I found it unsettling to think that retail sales have actually influenced even the timing of when we celebrate Christmas. All that to say is that Christmas is not over, okay? So at Symphony today, we are unapologetically still celebrating Christmas. We are singing Christmas hymns. I'm preaching about the birth of Jesus. Now, of course, the birth of Jesus isn't just relevant during Christmas. It actually can echo throughout our everyday lives. And today, I want to talk about what it means that Jesus is Emmanuel. Okay, so let's read Matthew 1:18-25. I got a new Bible for Christmas, large print. Sadly, it still feels a little small to me now. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you came for us. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this good news of exceedingly great joy that a Savior has been born, Jesus. And Lord, as we consider what it means that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred and our lives, Lord, would be altered. May you be glorified, God, as your peace comes into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Emmanuel. You've heard this name before, especially around Christmas time. But what does that word Emmanuel mean? In our passage today, verse 23 here quotes the prophetic words of Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him, his name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Matthew here helpfully provides us with a translation of Emmanuel, which in Hebrew literally breaks down to with us God. Or in other words, God dwells with us, with his people. But do we really know the implications of Emmanuel for us today? I want to share four ways that Emmanuel shapes the way that we can understand God and live life with God today. Actually, Pastor Mike gave us three. I gave you a bonus one. All right, first, Emmanuel means that God can be known. Second, Emmanuel means that God knows us. He understands what we're going through. Third, Emmanuel means that God saves us. And finally, God gives us a new way of life. So let's go through these four things together quickly. First, we can know God. Emmanuel means that God can be known. In 1961, Russia put the first man into space. Do you know his name, the Russian cosmonaut? He was called Yuri Gagarin, okay? And then Russian Premier Nikita Khrushchev commented that when Gagarin went into space, the Russian cosmonaut discovered that there was no God there, okay? And people were like, oh, I guess there's no God. In response, C.S. Lewis wrote an essay called The Seeing Eye, and Lewis said that if there were a creator God, we would not and certainly could not discover him just by going into space, because God would not relate to his creation in the way that someone on the second floor of an apartment relates to someone on the first floor. No, the analogy Lewis preferred was Shakespeare. God would relate to us as Shakespeare relates with Hamlet, okay? Hamlet can only know about Shakespeare to the extent that the author reveals information about himself in the play. But here's the amazing thing. God doesn't just give us information about himself. He did do that, but he actually enters into the play. right? He enters into the drama of human history with all of his peaks and valleys. He came into the world as Jesus to save us, to die for us. He came into the world so that we might know him, okay? You can't know someone who is distant, but you can know someone who is with you. And while we don't have a physical Jesus with us right now, Jesus did send us the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us and helps us to know God. Okay, the Holy Spirit helps us to discover God. You and I, we were meant to know God in a greater and greater way. The Apostle Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, but many of us, we're living, even as Christians, as practical atheists. We believe that Jesus came and lived and died for our sins and rose again, but we don't really live out that knowledge day by day. We can live, for all intents and concerns, as though God doesn't exist or matter, as though he weren't with us, as though he doesn't hear us. No, God broke into our reality, the scriptures tell us, to be with us so that we can know him. So let's seek to know him. Amen? The Holy Spirit will help us as we ponder God's word, as we pray, as we fellowship and encourage one another. Paul's way of knowing God, he says, was, I have suffered the loss of all things that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul says there's nothing worth more than knowing him. And you can know Jesus by serving like Jesus, even suffering like Jesus. Paul said that he was willing to give up everything. In fact, he had given up everything to know him more. And I'm not saying that we should lose or we need to lose everything, but I will tell you that God is worth it. So first, Emmanuel means that we can know God. Second, Emmanuel means that God really knows us. Or as Pastor Mike put it in his sermon, God understands what you're going through. He understands what we're going through because he's lived the life that we're living now. God divine became God incarnate through a baby. Now, when we describe the incarnation of Jesus Christ, incarnation meaning in the flesh, we're talking about, you know, the physical form of Jesus. And Pastor Mike recalls asking as a young Christian, why did Jesus have to come as a baby, right? Why couldn't Jesus come as an adult like Adam? Adam was formed from the dirt, right, as an adult. Now, that's a good question. There's a Christian song lyric that goes, he lived to die. And if that were true, then God could have sent Jesus as a grown man, okay? But there was a purpose to Jesus coming as a baby. This meant that he had a fully human existence, a fully human life. He was born helpless and dependent. He wasn't born into an affluent family with a prestigious education. Instead, he was born into an ordinary, common family. His father was a carpenter, a manual laborer. He wasn't born even during a time of peace and silence, but actually during a time of chaos, turmoil, and oppression. In 63 BC, Rome had conquered Jerusalem and all its surroundings. And in 37 BC, Herod the Great was appointed by Rome, to be the king of the Jews. The Jewish people were under another empire's power and authority. But there was a prophecy of a Messiah, an anointed one, a king who would come and restore the people of Israel to their land. When Jesus was born, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They had seen a sign, a special star, and they came to Herod the Great, the appointed king of the Jews, and asked, with what was either incredible insensitivity or incredible courage, to Herod the Great, they asked him, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We want to go worship him. And Herod pretends to go along. He consults religious scholars, and they tell him that the Messiah, according to scriptures, would be born in Bethlehem. And so he sends the wise men off to find Jesus, asking that when they do, that they let him know where this king of the Jews is. Right? Now, there were no altruistic, reasons behind, motivations behind that. This newborn was a threat to Herod's kingship and all the power that he held as the king of the Jews. And, since finding one boy, one infant boy, was probably, like finding a needle in a haystack, just to be safe, his solution was to order all infants under the age of 2 to be slaughtered. This is the place and time into which Jesus was born. It was a place with a broken past, a grieving present, and an uncertain future. Everything from infancy to adulthood, from birth to death, Jesus experienced the life that we live. He walked in our shoes. He felt what we feel. He was born. He grew up. He laughed. He cried. He celebrated. He grieved. He got tired. He got mad. He was stressed. And as it says in Hebrews 4:15, he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, our struggles, our confusion and loneliness, because he lived among us. Emmanuel means that we have a God who really does understand. It means that God is with us in all of our life circumstances. The God who created the universe is with you on your best days, on your worst days, every moment of your life. So often we think that we need to fix ourselves before we can go to God, but Emmanuel paints a different picture. God comes to us, right? And the promise that he gives to those of us who believe in him is that he will be with us always, through thick and thin, through the good days and the bad days. You see, we have a God who deeply and compassionately can identify with us. Third, Emmanuel means that we have a God who saves. The first time we see the word Emmanuel is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet to the people of God in the land of Judah, and they were living in a time of fear and panic and faint-heartedness. They were afraid because there were nations and kingdoms that were waging war against them. Their kingdom was being threatened. Lives were at stake. Their land was on the brink of desolation. But the Lord tells them in Isaiah 7:4, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint. And then he gives this word, this encouraging word, okay, that the Lord would give them a sign, a son of virgin birth. And the name that would be given to this child is Emmanuel, okay? Now, for the people of Judah, Emmanuel was to be a sign that Judah would receive relief from the attacks of those enemy nations. The name symbolized that God was still with them, that he hadn't forgotten them, and that God would deliver his people. It was a sign of hope for refuge and restoration. More than 600 years later, we see this prophecy, this promise, fulfilled through the birth of Jesus. And in our passage today, we see that an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying that the promise in Isaiah 7:14 is going to be fulfilled through Mary. Mary, a virgin, will bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, or in the Aramaic, Yeshua, which means Yahweh will save. Wait, why is his name Jesus or Yeshua and not Emmanuel? Why does Matthew say all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, and they shall call his name Emmanuel? Wait, does that make sense? Right? Verse 25, we see that the baby is indeed called Jesus. So, Matthew, why is the birth of a son called Jesus fulfill this prophecy in Isaiah that there will be a son whose name will be Emmanuel? How does it fulfill the prophecy? Well, for Matthew, they were the same. Right? The one who is with us is the one who saves. Or put another way, the one who saves us is the one who will be with us. He will save us from our sins so that we can be with him. Do you see? At the same time, he will save us by being with us. When Joseph heard this promise in his dream, it changed everything for him. His perception of God was shattered. And eventually, it was not just for him, but for the entire nation of Israel, right? But for us too, because up to this point, Israel had only seen one type of dwelling, one type of presence, God dwelling in a temple. But when Jesus shows up in the flesh, everything changes, right? You see, Emmanuel isn't just about a God who understands us, right? God didn't just come and walk in our shoes so that he could understand and sympathize with us. He did it so that he could save us from our sins. He didn't leave us to figure out our own mess. He came to be with us because he was the only one who could save us from our sins. We couldn't save ourselves. The only way out of sin is to be perfect, right? Which we can't be, or to bear the punishment, which biblically speaking was eternal separation from God, also known as death. But that's not the consequence that God desired. Now, God couldn't save us from afar. He needed to become one of us, one with us. Why? You see, if humanity commits sin, then it's not just or right for God to bear the punishment, right? Why should God bear the punishment for something that humanity did? But if God becomes a man, becomes a human, then he can justly bear a punishment that humanity ought to bear. You know, no other religion has a God who comes to his people and willingly suffers for them, but that's who our God is. He loved us so much that he sent his son, his only son, to die for us so that we might believe and receive the free gift of eternal life with him. That was the purpose of Jesus' death. Emmanuel then means that God is with us to save us, to deliver us from sin and death. But it doesn't stop at the cross. He's still with us today. His birth not only points to the salvation of our sins, but it also gives us hope that he will be our ever-present help in the midst of our present hardships, right? We can turn to Jesus knowing that he's still with us in the darkest of times. The everlasting presence of God with us brings light into our present darkness. No matter how dark our present circumstances may be, we can turn to God if he is with us, and he is. Through the Holy Spirit, he's our helper, our comforter, the one who brings peace and joy in the midst of anxiety and grief. You know, the Christmas season is meant to be a season of joy. I do know that for some of you, your present circumstances are making it hard for you to rejoice right now. As I mentioned earlier, Pastor Mike, who wrote this sermon in these words, is himself experiencing some hardship right now in the form of having COVID, which means, apart from being a little sick, he's not able to go home to be with his family this week as he had planned. He's not able to come and join the family of God as he would otherwise have hoped. But listen to what Pastor Mike says. I want to encourage you to know that God understands us and that he's with us, to walk with us through whatever we're going through. Jesus was born in a time of distress. He grew up in a time of oppression. He ministered before many who turned against him. And he died on the cross, alone and abandoned by his disciples. You can turn to Jesus, God incarnate, because he's the one who can sympathize with you and help you get through your present circumstances. Finally, Emmanuel points us to a new way of life. If God is with us, then that changes how we approach everyday life, okay? God chose to dwell among us because that was the most tangible and intimate way to display his love. And God wants to show us his love today by telling us that he's with us. But also, He wants to show his love to those around us on our campuses, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. If we believe in Emmanuel, a God who comes to be with the people that he loves in order that they may know him, that he might know them, that he might save them, then we, as his followers, will also go to be with the people that he loves, that they might know us and through us know him, that we might know them, that we would introduce them to Emmanuel, even as we join in God's work of redemption. You know, Jesus was born into a first century Jewish neighborhood, but he wants to make an impact in our neighborhoods through our church. You know, yesterday on Christmas morning, we had the privilege of doing our regular Saturday outreach with several churches in the Boston area. And since Christmas fell on a Saturday this year, some of us got to serve our neighbors on the Miracle Mile, also known as the Methadone Mile, also known as Mass and Cast, and celebrate the birth of Jesus with them. I'm actually particularly thankful for Mike, Olivia, and Cy, who have faithfully represented Symphony as leaders in this ministry. Yesterday, my boys and I got to join Mike and Olivia to actually go into the tent city, and we walked among the people that God loves, and for a number of reasons now find themselves without a home, addicted often to opioids. We got to talk with them. We handed out care packages. We prayed with them and shed internal tears. What a way to spend Christmas. You know, this is the vision of our microchurches, of course. Our microchurches aren't meant to be just worshiping communities. They're Emmanuel communities. You know, we have this rhythm of gathering and scattering because Jesus didn't stay in his own little bubble, but he went outwards and lived among people who were both very much like him and also very different from him. The God who came to live with us wants more and more people to have life with him. And just as Jesus was born and lived the life that we live and died the death that we deserve, as followers of Christ, we're called to follow in his footsteps, sympathizing with others' weaknesses, grieving with our neighbors in their loss, rejoicing with our neighbors in their gain, encouraging our classmates in the midst of anxious final seasons, comforting the lonely and the abandoned, standing up for those who don't have a voice, helping meet our neighbor's needs. John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus gave us this new command, a command to love one another as he has loved us. God loved us through the incarnational presence of Jesus. He's calling us to be an incarnational presence with our neighbors so that his love might be displayed through us. We can love our neighbors by being present with them. No matter the circumstances, we just need to be present. We don't need to give solutions to the problems that they're facing. We just need to be with them. And as we do that, the love of Christ, but also the life of Christ, the power of Christ, will be made manifest through us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to be with us so that we can know God, so that we can know that God knows us, that he saved us. And if we believe this, it'll change our hearts. It'll change the way of life, the way that we interact with those around us. You know, this Christmas, let's cling on to the hope of Emmanuel. Let's remember Jesus' closing words in Matthew's gospel. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The virgin birth is not only the fulfillment of a prophecy, a It came from Isaiah 7:14. It's also our ever-present hope for all our days to come. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us, should fuel our daily hope in Christ. As I said earlier, Christmas isn't over, but this season will pass. Christ, however, will be with us every day forever. He is Emmanuel. Let's pray.